Federation.
And you've got another edition of Off to the Races. I'm Mike Bozich, welcoming you to the program here today. Special thanks to all of our sponsors, including the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, Breed in Ohio, Buy in Ohio, Race in Ohio, and Win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center, Caring Down to a Science, and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Through Feed Store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. A busy show here today. The COO of the Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment, Jason Settlemore, will be joining us, as well as our thoroughbred go-to guy, Rich Matei, to break down the Preakness. That and more coming up in a flash on Off to the Races.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you could be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse-safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio, on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
We're here with our thoroughbred go-to guy. His name is Rich Matei. And Rich, we certainly appreciate you joining us. And listen, you were the first guest on this program to get two segments a couple of weeks ago. Now you're going to be the first guest to get a repeat effort as you're on this show 2 weeks in a row. So you must feel privileged right now.
Oh, yeah. Where's my check? That's all I'm asking.
It's in the mail, just like they always tell me. Rich, before we're going to break down this Preakness without Sovereignty. I know that was a big disappointment to certainly a lot of racing fans. But let's start by talking about the Kentucky Derby and your thoughts of Sovereignty and Journalism. They kind of kicked away at the top of the stretch and turned it into a two-horse race. What were your thoughts overall on the Derby?
I thought it was very satisfying that the two best horses in the race showed up. Actually, the top three, Baeza, raced pretty big as well. At the start of the race, when Citizen Bull came five paths off the rail, I felt like some horses got mired in that race, Final Gambit being one of them. I thought he raced well. But the trip that I looked at, and it's not even because I bet him, even though, of course, I bet him, Burnham Square, down the backstretch, had great position with Brian Hernandez, and that Japanese horse, Admire Daytona, basically stopped in his face. He actually lost about four or five positions going around the turn, and he closed back up to finish sixth, so that's one I'm going to look at of that race. But I thought Sovereignty and Journalism did what they were supposed to do. They showed up, and I just thought it was a very satisfying Derby this year.
Now, of course, the unsatisfying part of it is Sovereignty skipping the Preakness. And, of course, when you have a situation like this, you always have the Twitter folks that come out and say, well, the Triple Crown needs to be changed. It needs to be spaced out more. What say you on this subject? This just never seems to go away.
I feel like I'm probably old school that they should keep the Triple Crown the way it is, because I feel like the fact that it is 5 weeks and they're back to back to back really keeps the attention of non-horse players or non-horse people. And if you spaced it out even 4 or 5 weeks apart for each race, I feel like it would water it down a little bit. Not the fact that the horse actually might be facing tougher, because with the 5 weeks, I feel like everybody would just show up at every race. So by that, I feel like the Triple Crown would actually be harder, but I just feel like the attention of that Triple Crown series would just be watered down.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of been a detriment to our sport over the last several years, is the attention span of the punter is certainly not as long as it used to be with the advent of slots and the instant gratification and so forth. But comparing these two races now, not necessarily the horses in them, but there certainly is a big difference in each of the three Triple Crown races. You know, the Derby, I kind of like to call it a demolition Derby in a lot of ways, because you got the huge field and trips, of course, are paramount there. But usually when you get to the Preakness, it's a shorter race with a shorter field, but you know, Pimlico sometimes could play a pretty pretty tricky in comparison with Churchill Downs.
Yeah, of course, and you have a shorter stretch too, so I feel like Pimlico is a track where it more favors horses that are forward. So but with Churchill Downs, I feel like that racetrack is more fair with the, and their turns aren't as tight as people say. I just feel like just the way the surface plays is really what shows, like, that the speed can hold on, or horses that are distance challenged, they could go a little bit farther. Like you said, the races are totally different, and especially with the fact you're not getting 19 horses this year. In the Preakness, you're only getting 9.
Yeah, certainly a much shorter field. And of course, journalism now is the horse that's going to be the headline creator with Sovereignty Out. I believe he's 8-5 morning line. And really, the wagering attention is going to be all around him we're Saturday, so come a couple hours from now.
Yeah, but this race is a race where you get weird betting. So, like last year, I think Mystic Dan was only like 2-1, 8-5 in that race. I mean, obviously, Journalism is a better horse than Mystic Dan, or even Mage a couple of years ago. He was like 8-5 in that race. So I feel like I see he's 8-5 on the morning line. I would be surprised if he went off lower than even money, just because the way that the race is usually wagered in years past.
Visiting with Rich Mateo, Thoroughbred Go-To Guy. That's going to be your official title now, the Thoroughbred Go-To Guy. Some of the other horses that are matching up against Journalism, a couple that you like that maybe the general public isn't quite aware of or familiar with from the Derby, maybe some of the horses that skipped the Derby even.
Yeah, I like a few horses that skipped the Derby. River Thames, I thought, raced well last time out in the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes. The race two starts back. He actually got beat at Neck to Sovereignty, and we just saw what he did. I know they skipped the race, the Derby. They had enough points. They thought that he didn't want to get the distance. And I watched his last work. That was on May 10th. I think it was May 10th, yeah. And he was in a workout with a horse that was actually stakes placed, and he dusted that horse. And I saw him down in Florida for the Fountain of Youth. And I saw him in the Bluegrass. He just looks like a different horse. He looks like he's bigger. He looks more athletic. He looks more mature. And I think he's going to fire a big effort on Saturday. I don't think I'll be surprised if Journalism loses, but River Thames is no slouch, that's for sure.
Do we have any deep long shots this race that that we could kind of maybe include underneath? Maybe not so much to win, but if we're playing exact, the Strides of Supers that can create us some value underneath?
I like Gosker. He's the 9. He's 20-1 on the morning line. I don't think he's going to be 20-1. His race two back, he took over, and he just blitzed that field. And then last time out, he just sat a perfect trip right behind the speeds. I think he could do that again with Saez. And he tipped out at the top of the stretch, and he exploded. He looks like a horse that the distance is no question for him. They clearly wanted to point for this race by racing in the Lexington last time out. He's just getting better. He's lightly raced. And if he's 10 or 12-1, he's a horse that you have to include.
Visiting with Rich Mathey. Rich, let's talk a little bit about the undercard. I like to call you a specialist of these undercards because, boy, you give us a horse on Derby Day that raced a really, really good second. Was kind of heartbroken that he didn't get the job done. I know you're probably more heartbroken that he didn't get the job done, but let's talk about some of the undercard horses on the Preakness card that maybe we could get a bankroll going for the Preakness.
Yeah, we're going to start in race number 9. It looks like there's a lot of speed in this race. You got Coppola, who always goes out to the lead. You have 4 Harp that show speed. Boats of Rockin' show speed. No Nate Hudson. He probably should be favored, but I don't think he will be. I think Coppola will be. He's going to get a perfect trip in this race. He's going to get a trip like he did last time out, where he was at Keeneland. He just sat right behind the speed, and then he tipped out late. And he actually broke the race open because there were some closers in that race were starting to come after him, but he made the first move in that race. And the horse that was second, Clear the Air, came back to win a tougher allowance race, Derby Week, and he won that race decisively. And if you get anywhere 5-2 or 2-1, I think he's worth a play.
All right, that was a thoroughbred go-to guy. They call him the Natural. Rich Mathey. When we come back, Jason Settlemore, the COO of the Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment, and Jack of All Trades, the Little Brown Jug. We'll talk to Jason in a moment on Off to the Races. Stick around.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
And we're back on Off to the Races. Mike Bozich here on a beautiful Saturday morning. And right now we are joined by the COO and General Manager of the Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment in New Jersey, right outside of New York City. We're talking about Jason Settlemore, somebody very familiar with the Ohio racing scene. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yeah, very much familiar with the Buckeye State racing scene, and they're doing very well there in Ohio, and glad to be part of the program here today.
Let's talk a little bit about your upbringing and your involvement of racing in Ohio. Of course, you do a lot behind the scenes and in front of the scenes as well, kind of in front of the curtain for the Little Brown Jug and the undercard of the races leading up to it. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I have been the assistant announcer there to Roger for, I guess it's been, probably been close to 20 years now. I haven't missed a jug since 1989. I believe it was BJ Scoot. And it's kind of funny. The story with that is that, in Delaware, the kids take off that day of school. And back in my hometown, Newark, which is about 40 minutes away, we never took off school for the jug, but everybody knew where I was at that third Thursday after Labor Day. And it even got to a point where my principal and my school teachers were asking me for passes to get into the Little Brown Jug. So I'd be there with my principal and school teachers and playing hooky that day, and everybody else would be stuck in school, and the teachers and the principal were with me in Delaware, Ohio for the jug. So that was kind of unique. And then, I went to work for them. I believe it was right around 1995 when I graduated high school and went to work for them and was going to school at Ohio State, a freshman that year, that fall, and was throwing blankets in the winter circle. And then that morphed into me being the simulcast director and then the assistant track announcer. And I also do a little bit, try to help them out with a little bit of sponsorship work too during the year, trying to get more sponsors from out here in the East back there in Ohio to support the races. So it's definitely a passion, definitely a love for me. I get to go home every year, spend that week at home at mom's house and see all my family and friends and do what I love. And that's be at the Little Brown Jug there in Delaware, Ohio, and doing what I love too. So
now, Jason, for those of you that are listening on this program that by chance haven't had a chance to be at the Little Brown Jug, talk to us about the experience. And boy, it is quite an experience.
Oh, it is quite an experience. It's, you know, it builds up. We start racing on Sunday. There for a while we were racing on Saturdays, and it's always hard to do anything against Ohio State football. So that got nixed pretty quick. But generally speaking, we had always raced Sunday through Thursday. And it's a build up each day. And Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday being Jughead Day for the Phillies. And then Jug Day on Thursday is just, the place is absolutely packed. And a lot of memories and a lot of fun there each and every year. And like I said, it's a build up, you know, from the moment you step foot onto the fairgrounds on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday with the Phillies, like I said, and then Thursday the boys. So it's always been that way, and it's a great tradition. As everybody knows, I love heat racing too, so it's nice to see those horses get out there and jostle for their place in the finals. So, it's great. I love it. And there's not an atmosphere like it. Only thing that really compares to it for me is the Hamiltonian, obviously, and being able to oversee the Hamiltonian in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and be a part of the Little Brown Jug in Delaware, Ohio, is just a dream come true for this kid from Paperboy. Because that's how I met Terry Holton's, is Paperboy, and Paperboy from Newark, Ohio. So it's been a lot of fun.
You know, Jason, that's one of the things that allures me to the Little Brown Jug. You know, you talk about the Thoroughbred Triple Crown, and of course, that subject gets heated up every year, more so again this year because of Sovereignty missing the Preakness about, well, should they space the Triple Crown out? Is it too tough on these horses or whatever? But, you know, the Little Brown Jug, it's heat racing, and there used to be heat racing all the time in harness racing, but now kind of the Little Brown Jug is the last man standing as far as heat racing goes, but it's really the test, the true test of the stamina and the heart of the standard bred.
It sure is, you know, and listen, I understand why people have went away from it, but it's also disheartening as well. But at the end of the day, you know, the standard bred horse has gotten a lot faster over the years, as evidenced by the times that we've seen. And, you know, but yeah, Delaware is one of the last ones standing. I, like I said, on Hamiltonian Day, I always enjoyed the heat racing, and then, you know, coming the finals being on the same day. And, you know, so that to me is a little bit of a letdown for the Hamiltonian, but you know, the Little Brown Jug continues to plug away and keep tradition. And that to me is exciting because I'm a tradition type person and I love tradition. So, and Ohio loves tradition too, I would have to say too, because, you know, those fall Saturdays in Ohio, it's nothing but Ohio State football. So, tradition is a big thing to me and has always been a big thing back in Ohio as well. So, you know, but like I said, you know, to be able to oversee both those races and be part of them is absolutely a dream come true for me. And it's exciting. A lot of hard work, but it's exciting. That's for certain.
It's one of those things where if you're working behind the scenes, listen, you can't wait for it to get here and you can't wait for it to be over because of all the hard work.
Exactly. By the end of Hambletonian Day, my legs are jello. And by the end of the Little Brown Jug, my legs are jello too. And I usually, you know, out there, I go home. I'll go to Mom's house after the jug is over and sit down in my chair. And I'll be asleep after I eat dinner and probably usually don't wake up for 10 hours. And right there in that chair is where I sleep for those 10 hours most of the time.
Visiting with Jason Settlemore, COO, General Manager of the New Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment in East Rutherford, New Jersey, right outside of New York City. Jason, let's switch topics a little bit. Now you're at the Meadowlands. You've been at the Meadowlands, geez, how long now?
I've been there since 2012. I stepped foot onto the property in the fall of 2012, right after Hurricane Sandy, and haven't looked back since. So.
And of course, you know, you're at the Meadowlands now, and the Meadowlands is definitely, without question, you know, the capital of harness racing action. I mean, you know, things as far as this sport live and die, I think, with the Meadowlands. It's where the most eyes are. It's where the most handle is. You know, it's where most of the bettors and the horsemen and, you know, everybody kind of focus their attention. You know, you've got a big race coming up as well, the Cutler. That's going to be an outstanding event. And, of course, you know, you've got the Meadowlands Pace and the Hambletonian all coming up around the cusp of stakes season.
Yeah, no, it's fun. The Cutler on tonight should be a great race. It's lined up to be a great race. And, you know, leads right up to our championship meet ends with the Hambletonian. So, you know, listen, I mean, at the end of the day, you hit the nail on the head. There's nothing greater than being at the Meadowlands. And, you know, those horses that compete there on a weekly basis now with the championship meet are truly just the best that the sport has to offer, and it's a lot of fun, you know, these weeks coming up here. You know, you kind of, it's the doldrums of the winter and stuff like that in the Northeast, and then, you know, spring starts to come, you start thinking about who's the next champions, the babies, you start seeing the horses out here for baby training, and you know, and then you get to swing right into the championship meet, and really, at the end of the day, you know, there's no place better to be than the Meadowlands at East Rutherford, New Jersey.
One of the things that the Meadowlands has tried over the last, and this has been a subject that has gone back and forth over the last few years, it's gotten hot and heavy in the sport of harness racing, is post-time drag. And for those of you that don't know what post-time drag is, it's basically, you know, going 4, 5, 6 minutes past when the clock reaches zero. And I think it's kind of been established that it does help handle, but at the same token, you know, a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of us in the business don't like it. And, you know, you guys really made a major stand to try to put an end to it, or to try to kind of scale it back. And now you rescinded that. Tell us about what went into that decision.
Well, you know, we'd been doing it since the middle of April there, had been scaling it back a minute each live race night till we got down finally to zero, beginning with the championship meet there on Friday, at the beginning of May, right before the Derby. And, you know, this is the third time that we've tried it, and the results were absolutely the same thing again. It's stunning to me that the entire industry does not get behind an initiative like this and support it, especially when the premier track and harness racing in the world is trying to you know, do what our customers want us to do. And, you know, and then it's just spurred by, you know, massive loss and handle. And that's disappointing to me, because I absolutely, while, you know, we go back to it this week, we've rescinded that, as you pointed out. I can't stand it. I'm there for live racing right along with the horsemen and women until the bitter end. I send a report to Jeff at the end of live racing each night, and then I hit the road and have an hour drive home. So I understand it. I get it that, you know, they're late nights, you know, but the massive handle that we lost over the last several weeks, you know, and not really having any ancillary, casino or VGM revenue to offset those losses, you know, it just is Mr. Garrow writing checks, and that's certainly something that I want to keep from having to do as much as possible. So, you know, look, it's sad because at the end of the day, you know, we all know it's wrong, and it's not the way that we should be doing things. And but again, we were the only one out there. I will give it to Mohawk up there. Those guys have, you know, at one point they tried it with us. I think it was the last time we actually tried it, and you know, they jumped a little early, but you know, we did this, and then we disbanded it then as well. But you know, so those guys up there, they care, they get it, they understand, you know. But it's just, again, you know, it's trying to get things done and done properly. And when you see those massive loss of handle, and handle is cyclical, in my opinion, the more that's bet, then, you know, there's going to be more people's eyeballs, and they're betting more money because they know the pools are bigger. And, you know, so it's disappointing that we can't get rid of this model as an industry. And that includes the thoroughbreds as well. So yeah, you know, we're going to go back to the drag. It'll take a few weeks to get handle back to what it was prior to us starting the initiative. But I wouldn't think it would take us too awful long to get back to it. But you never know as well. I mean, it could work out opposite as well. So let's see how it goes. I always get nervous when we try these different types of things. And then, you know, we just hope that the handle magically appears again. And that's, you know, what we'll have to we'll pray that that's what happens.
Hey, thanks to Jason Settlemar. Also, thanks to Rich Matang for joining us on the program today. Special thanks to our sponsors, including the OHHA, Breed in Ohio, Buy in Ohio, Race in Ohio, and Win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They got caring down to a science. And Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet Drive-Thru Feed Store. Visit them at cashmans.com. We'll see you next Saturday with the first post of 9:30 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a good week.
It's known as the Great American Harness Race, the Little Brown Jug, and it's held right here in Delaware, Ohio. Why? Because Ohio is the heartland of harness racing. In Ohio, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association keeps things running smoothly and is here to make sure that harness racing remains strong. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Join us and keep Ohio as the driving force of harness racing. Call 800-353-6442. The OHHA.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.